This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. Buenos Aires, the capital of Argentina, has a long-standing reputation as the most cultured and prosperous city in Latin America. But when Argentina's economy collapsed in 2001, many Argentines wondered how much of the city's opulence was based on corruption. Continuing NPR's week-long series on Latin America, Martin Costi reports on how Buenos Aires is trying to regain its moral bearings.
You'll find street musicians in any big city, but in Buenos Aires there are a lot of them. It's not so unusual here for a young composer to walk down La Florida Street, pick a violinist, and ask him to try out his latest composition. The violinist here is from Colombia. The aspiring composer, Samuel Salia, is Chilean. He says Buenos Aires attracts classical musicians from across the continent. It's a city that's totally cosmopolitan in comparison with the other South American cities I know. It's full of life, especially musical life, Salia says. Last season, the famous Colón Theater performed a Schoenberg piece using two complete orchestras and four choirs, hundreds of musicians crammed onto the same stage. Summoning that quantity of musical talent would be impossible in any other Latin American city, but in Buenos Aires, it's routine. In many ways, this city is a throwback. Porteños, as the natives are called, like to keep certain things old-fashioned. In middle-class neighborhoods, you'll still see accordion door elevators, Parisian-style architecture, and sidewalk cafes where the waiters serve seltzer from actual glass seltzer bottles. But during the economic boom of the 1990s, Buenos Aires also acquired a veneer of American-style glitz. Part of the population got very rich and moved into luxury real estate developments. The most visible case is the Puerto Madero district on the River Plate. The waterfront is now a mix of chic restaurants, renovated red brick warehouses, and glassy condominiums. Puerto Madero is arguably the most pleasant public space in the city, but many porteños can't stand it. Porteños like these unemployed workers who regularly march through the city demanding state aid. The protesters are known as piqueteros, and they're suspicious of anything even remotely related to the economic boom years. Leftist economist and piquetero Ricardo Aguirre says Puerto Madero and the rest of upper-class Buenos Aires represent corruption.
Todo el mundo en este país sospecha que el otro robó.
In this country, everyone suspects the other person of stealing, and the population has a deep belief that this is a corrupt country, Rodriguez says. Like many here, he assumes the glass towers of Puerto Madero were paid for with tainted money. It's not such an unreasonable assumption, given this country's recent history. During the 1990s, there were constant reports of bribes, kickbacks, and sweetheart deals for certain businesses as the government privatized state-owned companies. Public servants set up offshore bank accounts and purchased apartments in Manhattan. One especially notorious minister posed for a magazine cover wearing little more than a fur coat. But in Buenos Aires, suspicion always cuts both ways. These impoverished marchers, for instance, formerly middle class, now many of them are forced to pick through the garbage for recyclables. But even they aren't above suspicion. Taxi driver Ricardo Perez scowls as he watches them stop traffic. Many of the marchers are threatening, wearing masks and carrying clubs. The government gives them money to keep them quiet, he says, referring to certain emergency welfare payments. Porteños such as Perez suspect the piquetero organizations of controlling who gets the unemployment payments and even of taking a cut. Perez considers the piquetero marches to be extortion, just another way of grabbing public funds. Mario Reitman Farrá is the president of the Argentine chapter of Transparency International, an anti-corruption organization. He says much of Argentina's corruption comes out of a long tradition of political spoils. Politicians built their power bases by handing out state aid, contracts, and no-show public jobs. Reitman Farah says it's as if democracy itself had been pawned.
Argentina, como otros países de Latinoamérica,
Argentina, like other Latin American countries, can't have credible, stable institutions if they're always so weak that they depend on some local leader who controls social welfare funds. There is no democracy in a corrupt system.
But he says he's heartened by signs that the Argentine middle class, which was nearly wiped out by the recent financial crisis, is no longer complacent about government corruption.
Hay ojos más atentos.
There are more watchful eyes now, which wasn't true before. In reality, Argentines used to react to corruption stories by smiling and saying, that was a smart guy, at least he figured out how to do it. I think nowadays corruption is more likely to get a rise out of us.
Argentina's new president, Néstor Kirchner, laments how depraved the society has become, citing as an example the recent case of 20 employees of the Labor Ministry who've been accused of helping themselves to unemployment benefits. Kirchner has moved to give prosecutors more independence. For the first time, the Special Office to Investigate Corruption is headed by a non-political appointee, an intense young lawyer named Manuel Garrido.
El problema de la Fiscalía de Investigaciones Administrativas es que ha sido un órgano...
The problem with this office is that it's been neglected for more than 10 years. Resources are scarce, both technology and personnel. But beyond that, there's the challenge of re-establishing the institutional role of this office.
Garrido is hoping to make a splash with an aggressive investigation into the disappearance of $5 million in state funds back in 2000. Investigators suspect that the then-president, Fernando de la Rúa, may have used that money to bribe a group of senators to vote his way. Garrido vows to bring the former president himself in for questioning. As things stand in this city, the rich are now regarded with a degree of suspicion. Here at the Palermo racetrack, BMWs and Mercedes no longer clog the parking lot as they once did. The same is true at the city's other racetrack and the polo grounds. In post-meltdown Argentina, conspicuous displays of wealth just aren't very advisable. Horse trainer Daniel Adani says rich porteños are uneasy about showing off their money in part because they too are worried about corruption.
Siempre la gente inclusive no pagaba porque sabía que no iba a ir a ningún lado, se iba la plata al bolsillo de alguno.
People wouldn't even pay their taxes because they knew the money didn't go anywhere except into the pockets of a few, Adani says. It's an argument that's heard a lot in Argentina, a country with a long-standing tax evasion problem. Adani says if porteños knew for sure that their money would go toward public hospitals and fixing streets, they'd gladly pay their taxes. That's an open question. But for a government that's defaulted on its debts and still has trouble paying its bills, there is a strong incentive to at least try to convince people that the system is now basically honest. But given the porteños' naturally suspicious nature, they'll probably take a lot of convincing. Martin Costi, NPR News.
Previous reports are at npr.org.